What would it feel like if you were able to live each day knowing that you were living your purpose? What impact would that have on your sense of joy and fulfillment in life? And what impact would that have on your success in any of your goals or your endeavors? In this episode, we're going to be discussing what it means to live one's purpose by sharing the concept of Ikigai. Welcome to the Zen Stoic Path, where we share a modern take on timeless wisdom to help you create unshakable inner peace. I'm your host, Victor Pierantoni. Let's get into the show. So Ikigai is a Japanese word that means one's reason for being. So if you've ever seen the symbol for Ikigai, it is a Venn diagram with four circles. Now, each of these circles has different questions within it. And the idea is that when you're living in the center, in the intersection of all four of these, you are living your purpose. You are doing what you're made for. And when we're doing what we're made for, it is the most natural thing that we can possibly do. Now, the thing that actually stops us from being able to live our purpose is that when we have all kinds of beliefs of why we can't do it or what we're supposed to be, or when we're taking on the beliefs of identities that were given to us. In other words, things that we adopted as we were growing up throughout our lives. So when we talk about this idea of Ikigai, this is what it means to experience what is called in Buddhism, right livelihood. Now, right livelihood is something that we discuss on this show for the purpose of understanding that part of the creation of our unshakable inner peace and the life of that is to also make sure that we have unshakable inner peace in the area of our wealth. Now, in the last episode, we talked about the true meaning of wealth and how we can look at money in a different way. When we look at how we're making our money or how we're adding value to the world, Ikigai is a very powerful model to help us bring a deep sense of clarity to living our sense of purpose. Because in order to experience right livelihood, as the Buddha would call it, the idea is to be able to make our wealth in a way that doesn't contradict or interfere with our process of liberation. Now, the only way that our livelihood is going to interfere with our sense of liberation is if we are compromising who we are and our values. In other words, when we talk about right livelihood, it is about making your livelihood in a way that not only doesn't conflict with your liberation, but also in a way that doesn't harm others. It doesn't devalue others or violate the values of others. It is doing so in a way that is harmonious with everyone else at the same time. Now, this doesn't mean that your career or your job or your business is not going to upset people at times because it might go against their beliefs. It is simply to say that when you are entering into a professional endeavor, you're doing so with a sense of authenticity, with a sense of alignment. When it comes to Ikigai, the reason why it's so powerful is because developing any kind of authority in any industry comes down to a single word, and that word is alignment. So let's talk about what Ikigai actually is and what each of those circles on the Venn diagram means. So Ikigai is comprised of four questions. Number one is, what am I good at? Number two is, what can I get paid for? Number three is, what does the world need? And number four is, what do I love? Those questions don't go in any particular order, but those are the four questions that are being asked. Now, when you're able to live in the intersection of all four of those questions, that is when you're living your purpose. Now, the big mistake that people will make often is they will often try to answer all four questions at once. They'll ask themselves, what in my life meets all four of these questions perfectly? And that is typically a place where we experience a sense of overwhelm. Now, the reason why we're experiencing overwhelm is because our conscious minds are designed to only focus on one thing at a time. And when we try to bring them all in together all at the same time, we experience a sense of overwhelm because we're trying to answer four different questions that all can have a different path and journey to learning what those answers are for us. So the idea is, depending on where you start, you're going to have a different experience. So some people oftentimes will start at the, what can I get paid for? That's typically the narrative that our society is going to be experiencing is, what can I get paid for? What is going to actually make me the money that I want to make? Now, the problem with that is that if we're asking that question from the start, most of the time what ends up happening is somebody just chooses the highest paying job or industry to enter into. And when they enter into that, they start advancing, they start committing to goals and growth in that industry, and then they end up climbing the ladder of whatever the highest paying thing was. However, when they get to the point where they've decided that, yes, like I've made it from a financial sense or a material sense, then that inevitable experience comes about where somebody thinks to themselves, is this all there is? They have all the money. They have the material possessions. They have the house, the car, and the family. And then they think to themselves that they are unfulfilled or dissatisfied with their everyday life. And they're only doing it for the money. So by starting with that question, you run the chance of climbing the wrong mountain. Where when you get to the top of the mountain, when you get to the top of that achievement, you look around and you realize that you've climbed the wrong mountain to begin with. Then you got to start all over. So starting with the question of what can I get paid for can lead to that. Now, every now and then somebody will get lucky and they'll just choose the thing that they love, or they'll develop a love for it. But I would say that that is the exception, not the rule. So what if we started with a different question? What if we started with, well, what does the world need? Perhaps you're starting with an altruistic perspective. Now, if you think to yourself, what does the world need? The world has 8 billion people in it, and there are all kinds of needs that are present at the moment. And if we think to ourselves, what does the world need? And we follow this path of simply focusing all of our attention outwardly, then what's going to happen is we're going to be inundated with all the problems of the world, and we're going to feel ourselves getting sucked into the problems of the world and ultimately making them our own problems. You see, when we think to ourselves first, what does the world need? We essentially cast a very wide net and want to essentially start to help everybody. Now, what this can lead to is this can lead to actually becoming a martyr, where you're just in service of everything and everyone, standing up for every cause. And when you do that, you're not able to actually concentrate your efforts or operate in your zone of genius where you would actually create the biggest impact for the world. There's a wonderful quote that says, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive." Because what the world needs is people who are more alive. So if we think about it from that perspective, if we just cast that net, we may never actually find what is our true purpose. We might be able to help. We might be able to extend a helping hand to somebody in need. But this is not necessarily the path to you finding a sense of purpose and fulfillment in each and every day. So let's move on to the next question. What if we started with, well, what am I good at? Now, here's the problem with this question, is that what you're good at is not necessarily what you enjoy doing or what you feel satisfied or what you feel fulfilled by doing. And so where I used to see this a lot was when I was a kid and I was in wrestling, there were a lot of wrestlers who were really, really good because they had started when they were like 4 years old, whereas most of the wrestlers had actually started when they were in high school. So these guys had 10 years of experience on most people who were doing wrestling. Now, a lot of them really enjoyed it, which was great. But there were some that absolutely despised and hated it. They were miserable doing that sport, even though they were really good and they beat people really easily, right? They were just operating in a comfort zone, in a thing that they had adopted or built a lot of skill around. Now, this can happen in a multitude of different ways. This can happen when we're really good at a certain topic in school. And so we think to ourselves, well, I might as well study that. But the idea is that oftentimes when we are just doing what we're good at, the way that we're thinking about it is, how is the outside world validating me for this particular skill or this thing that I'm good at? And when we ask this question, we actually engage in the delusion of performance that we talked about in a previous episode, where we're not actually expressing what is alive within us. We're not actually doing what is meaningful to us. Rather, we're only doing what the world is rewarding us for. And so this leaves us to our final question, which is, what do I love? Well, what happens if we start here? When you ask yourself, what do I love? This is when you truly come alive. This is how you create more aliveness within you, because when you start with what you love, while it may not have an immediate payoff, while it may not have an instant reward like some of the other questions, this is the one that is most genuine and authentic to you. This is the one that will lead you into your life purpose when you follow this. Now, there's a lot of people that dismiss this idea of doing what you love, because for some people, they don't identify their work as something that needs to be a labor of love, and that is completely okay. However, if you want to experience a sense of living your purpose, this can be a really good place to start. One example that I think is fantastic when it comes to this question is someone like Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan loved basketball as a kid. He didn't necessarily start with, what can I get paid for? What does the world need? Because the world didn't need him to play basketball when he was a kid, and he wasn't getting paid for it. And he also wasn't the best, right? He got cut from his high school team in his freshman year. So he pursued it because it was something that he loved. He had a love for the game, and he would just be obsessed with the whole process of playing basketball. And then when he did that, after he had gotten cut, he was able to build up enough skill to make the team the following year. And so he kept playing. So he not only was doing what he loved, but he was also getting really good at it. And then there were scouts, there was talent that started to want him to play on the college team. So then he went and played college basketball. And then eventually he was so good that they wanted him to play professional basketball. And now he's getting paid for this thing. So he's doing what he loves. He is really good at it and he's getting paid for it. Now at this stage of the game, he's hitting those three questions. But what about that fourth question that we haven't mentioned, which is what does the world need? If you think about the career that Michael Jordan had, one thing that was truly inspiring about it is that he was not only a professional basketball player that people admired, he became a cultural icon. He inspired countless people all over the world to pursue their dreams, to become really skilled in their endeavors. Even athletes in different sports would idolize Michael Jordan because it wasn't about the basketball at that point. It was about his commitment and devotion. And Michael Jordan, in that sense, was very much living his purpose and doing what he was made for. So when we start with that question of what do I love, we can find a deep sense of purpose. The thing is, when we ask ourselves like, oh, what is my purpose in life? Or like, I just got to find my purpose. Those narratives that personal development throws out there only serve to confuse people because you're not going to like walk around and find your purpose under a rock. And by asking those questions, it's about starting with the right questions, which the right questions are the ones that point you back to yourself. Again, authority in any endeavor, whether it is in career, whether it is as an influencer on social media, or it is in a sport that you love or a hobby, authority is going to come down to one thing. And that thing is alignment. And you find alignment by beginning with what you genuinely love, with what actually allows you to feel like you're coming alive when you're in the process of doing it. That is where we start. And when we start with that point, we're able to not only get really good at something, but we're able to perhaps find a need in the market and then actually get paid for that thing that we do. Now, this is one path, but this is the path that allows you to actually experience that deep sense of purpose and satisfaction. Now, as you're going along the path, then the question becomes, well, how do I be successful at that when I'm living my purpose? Right? In the previous episode, we talked about generating wealth. Now, when you are totally aligned and you're living that purpose, then you are no longer attached to that idea of money. But if you still want to grow and find success in any endeavor, then what I always like to refer to here is the 5 laws of stratospheric success from the book, The Go-Giver. Now, this is a book that was written as a parable, very much like the book, The Alchemist, except it was written as a parable to share business principles, to share principles that would allow a person to be successful. So if we're leaving our ikigai, the key is to tap into these 5 laws of stratospheric success. The first one is the law of value, which essentially states your true worth is dictated by how much you give in value versus how much you actually take in compensation. So when you are actually sharing your gifts with the world, when you are engaged in something that is truly purposeful and satisfying for you, how much value are you actually giving versus how much are you charging for that value? So the more value we give in that ratio between value and payment collected, the more value we're going to actually have in the world and the more we're actually going to be compensated for that. So the idea is when you truly love something, when you're living your ikigai, you want to get good at it. You want to find ways of serving the world and getting paid for it. And the more you can dive into that, the more you obsess about that naturally and just fall in love with that process, the more value you're able to actually deliver. Now, the second law is the law of compensation, which dictates that the amount of compensation that you are actually able to generate in any one of these is based on how many people you serve. So when we are doing what we love, when we are finding these needs in the world, when we're getting really good at it, we're finding niches and we're finding, you know, we're asking and we're finding people's problems and we're finding unique solutions to that, the more people we're able to actually serve, the more we're actually able to spread that gift, the more we will be compensated because we are spreading our gift to others. We are creating a ripple in the world and we're creating a positive impact that impacts not just ourselves and our immediate family that we might be supporting or taking care of, but it actually reaches many people even further out than we possibly imagined. So for me, I think one of the most beautiful gifts around doing this podcast is that I get the pleasure of receiving messages from people from all over the world who are tuning into this podcast, countries I've never been in, but because I'm able to actually speak on this platform, I'm able to actually create value in other parts of the world with people I would have never met otherwise. So the more you can spread the value that you give, the more wealth you can create, the more income earning potential you actually give yourself. Now, the third law is the law of influence. Now, the law of influence is essentially stating that the more you're able to put someone else's needs ahead of your own in the moment that you're serving them, the more you will be compensated. So another way of stating the law of influence is describing what is known as enlightened self-interest, which means that you're able to 100% put a person's need ahead of your own so that you're able to serve them in the highest capacity possible. When you do this, it is felt on the other side. That person feels totally taken care of, and the people that you're serving feel like you're truly there for them. So when we think about living our purpose, if we are able to be totally aligned within ourselves, what that's going to actually do is that's going to allow us to feel as though we are filled up on an emotional level. Right? When we feel alive, we feel filled up on an emotional level, and it actually diminishes the amount of unconscious or subconscious voids that we have, where we are seeking validation, or we're seeking the sale from someone else, or we're seeking for people to respect us in a certain endeavor. When we are able to put somebody's needs 100% ahead, it is a result of living in alignment. When you live in alignment, you experience what is known as emotional prosperity, where you end up actually serving from an overflowing cup. However, if you're not living in alignment, and let's say you're doing something that you don't like, and you're feeling a sense of frustration, and you have this need to escape from whatever it is that you're doing, your ability to serve clients, customers, prospects, or anybody that you serve in your work is going to actually be reduced, because we're going to start thinking about ourselves. One place that I actually learned this really well is when I was working at my first job as a coach. I worked for a really big company. It was one of the biggest companies in the entire world. And I was serving many, many clients. Now, we did great work. However, one thing that was always said to us is this idea of that your clients are better with you than without you. And I always thought to myself, oh, that sounds really good. Like, I'm there. I'm going to be in their corner. I'm going to have their back. But what I didn't realize is that the idea there and the whole way of doing work was keeping your clients in coaching, re-enrolling, and paying all the time. And when I really thought about this, this didn't really sit well with me. And it didn't actually align with this law of influence, because the way I was coaching, because my job was to actually keep clients enrolled in coaching, I wasn't actually able to give my all to the point where I could, that client would be self-sufficient and self-sustaining on their own without me. And to me, that's what coaching really meant. It meant giving somebody, or it meant truly teaching somebody how to fish versus just giving them fish and giving them the ability to be self-sustaining and to be able to stand on their own two feet, to stand in their own sovereignty. So every time I would coach somebody and I had this mindset of, oh, I have to keep them in coaching, I wasn't able to actually experience that sense of enlightened self-interest. So when I left that company and I started coaching on my own, I changed that completely. I made my mindset that by the time I'm done working with anybody, they will be totally self-sufficient and they will not need me. They might choose to work with me because they want to optimize and continue their progression of growth, but they will not actually need me. They'll have the tools and the transformation to be able to sustain that on their own. And in that way, I was able to actually experience this enlightened self-interest, if you will, with my clients, where I'm able to actually put their needs 100% ahead of my own in the container that we set because of a few things. Because one, that is what I'm setting out for. And two, I'm living a life that I feel aligned in, that I feel totally alive in. And that's what makes that possible. Without that, it is not sustainable for us to actually put other people's needs ahead of our own. We have to know how to come alive within ourselves to experience that sense of emotional prosperity so that you can do what I like to call serving from an overflowing cup, where you are so filled up by what you're doing, you're so aligned that there is nothing left to do at that point but serve others and help others and help guide them and help bring value to their lives. And the last law of the five laws of stratospheric success is the law of receptivity, that the key to effective giving is receiving. Many people will get burnt out in their work because they're only focused on giving. Focus on giving, 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 giving. Because we often will have this misconception, especially when we look at things like philosophy that talk about the importance of giving. And the importance of giving is something that has been idolized by people throughout time. People have essentially misinterpreted philosophy and think that everything in personal development, in Buddhism, in Stoicism is all about generosity and giving to the other. The problem with that is that we cannot continue giving unless we are able to receive. You can think of this very much like breathing. If I asked you to just exhale for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes straight, you wouldn't be able to do it without taking a breath in. So the key to effective giving, the key to actually bringing your gifts and living your purpose, is being open to receiving. When somebody gives you a compliment, not just immediately brushing it off. Because a lot of the time, we practice not receiving in small ways. And so it ends up affecting us in bigger ways. It ends up affecting us in our work. So when you think about it, ask yourself, how good does it feel to give to somebody? How good does it feel when you give a genuine compliment to somebody? Now, does it still feel good when they brush it off? Or does it feel good when they also receive it? So think about that. Anytime you don't allow yourself to receive, or you don't allow yourself to be helped by others, or you don't allow yourself to be compensated adequately, you are actually taking away from the person's experience who's doing the giving. And so the key here is it's not that it's better to give than to receive. It's that it is necessary to give in order to receive, and vice versa. This is a natural rhythm of life. This is a natural rhythm of our reciprocity as human beings. So this is how we give value to one another. So when we put all this together, when you're living in your ikigai, you're doing what you love, you're really good at it because you're committed to it and you love the process of it. And so you're able to get paid for it and you're able to find different ways in which your purpose and your skills can serve the world. And then you follow these five laws of stratospheric success, where you give more value than you're asking for in payment. You serve as many people as you possibly can. You're able to put people's needs ahead of your own. You're able to bring your authenticity to the table by living in alignment with who you really are and what makes you come alive. And then you allow yourself to be open to receiving. That is when you're able to truly live what you're made for, to truly live your purpose. And that is the manner in which we create our wealth that allows for us to be truly wealthy, to be truly rich and prosperous in all ways. That is what it means to live a life of joy and fall in love with the process. It's not to say that we can't have goals, but it's to remember that the most important thing is to do what allows us to come alive, to do what is authentically an expression of ourselves, and to serve from an overflowing cup. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If this episode inspired you, please go ahead and share it with somebody that you care about. This is how the podcast grows, is by people sharing it with one another. And when we spread this knowledge, when we spread the wisdom of Zen Stoic philosophy, we are all able to live with much more unshakable inner peace. So go ahead and share this episode with somebody who you care about.